morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And we are here to talk a little bit about going back to school. But before we think about the kids going back to school, maybe some of the grown-ups might be thinking about going back to school to learn a little bit about home gardening in El Paso, because the El Paso Community College is once again holding the Home Gardening in El Paso Personal Enrichment class come this fall. And the class begins actually already in September, which, as we know, is already right around the corner, literally. So tell us a little bit more about this class.
Well, definitely. This class is it's a non-credit class, so it's for personal enrichment. There is a program fee attached to that, but the really great thing about it is that it's held on Saturday mornings, six Saturdays in the fall, and it's taught by master gardeners. So each Saturday, you'll have a two-hour block of one specific subject presented by one master gardener who has a specialty in that area of horticulture. So it's a really great interactive class. There's a traditional PowerPoint presentation, but then they also have some really great demonstration tools, whether that's types of fertilizers and pesticides or any kind of demonstrating some kind of gardening techniques for container gardening or, you know, even rainwater harvesting and drip irrigation. So every time you go into class, you'll have a new presenter, a new subject, and you'll be able to have a master gardener there for you to answer all your questions.
And so if you thought maybe the master gardener course itself was maybe a little too intensive for you, then perhaps this is the thing that you're looking for, because it's only 2 hours and it's a different topic each day. So I think that's a really terrific way for people who maybe have had questions about gardening in El Paso. This is the perfect choice for them to make.
Exactly. And people that work outside of the home or have a really busy schedule during the work, they just really can't commit to the Master Gardener class. It is intensive, not just when we meet for lectures, but also the volunteer service on that. And I found that homeowners that do garden, they want information on a specific subject. So this is a great way to get an introduction to master gardening. And then hopefully they'll be able to attend our other workshops, on that little menu of whatever they think is of interest to them.
And actually, if you go back to the Good to Grow archives, you'd be able to hear an interview that we did with a master gardener we had here in the studio talking about the previous Home Gardening in El Paso course. So you can listen back to that show and learn a little bit more about what you can expect in the fall. And we'll actually have a link on how you can learn more about the Home Gardening in El Paso course on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. All right, let's talk back to school. It is coming up here. Most schools are starting this coming Monday, and I know some other school districts started earlier, but perhaps there are some teachers out there thinking about, I'd like to maybe incorporate some gardening into my classroom schedule. So what do you think that people who are interested in doing something like this need to start off with? What's square one?
They need to make sure that they have an appropriate area to garden. And those are the tangibles. You need to look, starting off, what the plant needs. So we definitely need an area that's a protected area. That way the kids have access to it, or adults have access, but it's kind of protected, and you don't want to have it, you know, be able to be accessed through the street. Because all your hard work is going to get, you know, harvested or trampled by somebody else. And then also you need to look at enough sunlight for a garden. Anything that you need to grow, you need at least 6 hours of direct sunlight. That can be morning or afternoon sun. It doesn't matter, but just look at a 6 hour time of that day. And then also, of course, you need to look at your water source. There needs to be some kind of easily accessible water source that can easily just be a hose bib, a faucet out there that you can connect a hose to be able to get to your garden area. And then also you need to have like a little area where you can store some of your tools. A lot of our space inside is already kind of delegated to certain other teaching materials, but you want to make sure that you have a little outdoor area where you're able to store any kind of tools that you're going to need for your gardening activities.
So let's talk about maybe what kind of plants that teachers may be thinking of. Vegetables are the first thing that comes to mind. You know, when kids plant something, I think that they probably are going to get a much richer reward if they can see something that's growing that's actually going to they're going to be able to eat. You know, it's not necessarily a pretty flower. It's going to be something that's actually going to be beneficial.
Right, exactly. So there is a big movement for locally grown vegetables, and that's certainly the case here in El Paso. But definitely we can grow a lot of different types of leafy greens. It's also important to be able to look at what season schools are in. So we have the fall to the early spring. After that, the summertime, kids are nowhere in sight. Teachers are out on break. So you need to be able to choose those appropriate plants for those seasons. One technique that I like to really encourage small schools to start using are repurposed materials. So there's a cylinder gardening program that we have where it's just cutting off the bottoms of 5-gallon containers. And you get those from any kind of food service place that held, you know, frosting or mayonnaise or pickles. All of those are found in cafeterias and in restaurants all over town. And what you can do is just cut off the bottom of that and you place that in your area for your garden. And then you fill that up with potting soil. And that's going to give you at least 18 inches of a container, and that's perfectly acceptable for growing things like carrots or any kind of small root vegetables. It has enough space for that plant to grow and expand. By putting those cylinders together, you can also kind of separate those into students. So if you have student teams, you know, you can have a pair of students tending to one cylinder. And that's just enough space to kind of give the kids ownership of their garden, but also not be overwhelming to the adults.
So if there is a teacher who is thinking about maybe purchasing some materials, what is the first thing he or she is going to need to look for when it comes to, other than the, you know, the recycled cylinders, what other materials, like what kind of potting soil or what kind of tools? You were talking earlier about some place to put the tools, but what tools are perhaps are the ones that are needed the most?
Yeah, with the small school gardens, you definitely need either, you can either get a potting soil mix with good drainage, or you can also get what's labeled as garden soil. Both can be used for that cylinder garden technique. So you need to be able to eyeball that. Usually it's about one bag, which is 2 cubic feet, will kind of fit into one of those repurposed containers. So kind of eyeball that. You need every one for one, maybe a little bit more once you're getting other people involved for spillage. But definitely you want to make sure that you get some nice seeds that you're able to grow. Right now, I've seen a lot of the garden centers, a lot of the local stores have started to put all of their gardening merchandise on clearance. They haven't already. So just check the back of those little seed packets and it'll be stamped. Hopefully it's packed for 2014. And for the most part, those seeds have been sitting inside a shelf, inside a store with fairly regulated temperatures, so they should be very, very viable. So go ahead and you can get some of those as well. And then take a good storage of those. Don't put them in your hot garage or don't leave them in your car. Make sure that you want to keep them inside your classroom or inside a building as well. And that's really going to extend the viability of those seeds. As the years progress, you can use older seeds that you have left over from your garden or a gardening friend. Just keep in mind that that germination rate or that the percentage that are going to sprout is going to be much less.
So, well, we know that a lot of teachers might be interested in doing some of this type of gardening coursework for their classes. But as we all know, there's a lot of red tape to go around. So what perhaps if there's a teacher interested in doing this, do they have to contact their principal? Do they have to talk to the district? What would be the right way for them to go about trying to accomplish this?
You definitely need the principal on board. The principal, the main decision maker of that campus, needs to have that buy-in into your school garden, no matter how big or how small it is, to be able to lend that support. If he or she is on board, then that makes it much easier for the teachers to be able to do what they need to do. I've seen some really great examples when there's a science teacher with a physical activity coach. You know, so they kind of work together and they'll be able to get this partnership going to get the garden off the ground. With having the principal on board, you also can get that support also from the parent-teacher organizations as well and those school volunteers that are at the school. on a daily or weekly basis to maybe help out with some of the gardening tasks. Of course, you want to make sure that as teachers, you're following your curriculum and your standards that you need to follow on that. So any extra pair of hands is viable to make sure your garden is successful. But definitely the key is that principal buy-in. And that's one of the things that we have at the Escarate Vegetable and Demonstration Garden is really a functioning cylinder garden in one section that uses all different types of repurposed materials. It's fully working, it's set up, and it's a really good way to see a garden that's living, a garden that's being taken care of, and what are those inputs that are needed. And out there, there's a lot of different materials that are being used, and they're kind of put into a different configuration. And then that way, the teachers can take that information and then adopt it to their particular site, their location, or their needs.
Well, see, I smell field trip here. Maybe there's some teachers who want to take their classes to the Escarate Demonstration Garden, because like you were saying, there are perfect examples on how it can be done simply with materials that you might even just have around the house, that there's really nothing extraordinary that people have to do in order to grow a successful garden. So would the master gardeners be open to accepting class field trips to the garden?
Yeah, and we have so actually several times now to be able to get groups of all ages and all sizes. The biggest thing is that we would need is advance notice. And then that way we could accommodate the group. But we've had students from all over the county actually visit the garden in all different ages as well. So it's definitely an opportunity to be able to take the kids out there for a field trip or even some teachers if they want to stop by and get information as well. It'd be a great way. But the best thing to do is contact us at the Master Gardener Hotline, or you can contact me directly in my office. We can certainly set that up and put that into our calendar.
What are the normal hours for the garden in case maybe there are some teachers that just want to stop by?
Yeah, the garden is actually open all throughout the regular park hours. You'd actually get more out of it if you go Monday and Thursday mornings from 7 to 11 when Master Gardeners tend to their regular garden days. It's open for a self-guided tour.
So if there are already gardens sort of sprouting up around some schools, and if they need assistance, would a master gardener be able to go and help out if there was a teacher saying, well, I'm having some issues growing these tomatoes, can I call the master gardeners for some assistance in coming over to the school?
Yeah, that's really a really great program that we do have. It's our school gardening program. And that's really for master gardeners to be that liaison, to be that, you know, name and face to an organization. And we usually try to pair up master gardeners with their geographic location, you know, close, make it convenient for them to be able to have that working relationship with the school garden itself. So if that's something that you're interested in, yes, we can certainly be able to match you up with a master gardener to be able to help you troubleshoot your questions or concerns you may have. And master gardeners do not build gardens around town. There's other groups that you can contact if you want to have a cleanup or a building party, but definitely for that education, for that technical background, troubleshooting, that's the service that these volunteers provide back to their community.
So how many schools in the region already have a working garden?
Well, that depends. I always have a working map of all the different types of gardens that are around town, and there's so many of them. It's difficult to quantify because they're all at different stages of development.
Well, that's terrific. So I guess if you want any more information on contacting the Master Gardeners to maybe see about getting you started with a garden in your school, you can call 566-1276. That number again is 566-1276. That's the Master Gardener Hotline. And you can find archives of past Good to Grow shows on ktep.org. Just visit the Good to Grow page. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.